Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown of horns247.com, joined by our fearless leader. She's back from her vacation, looking happy and rested, the one and only Taylor Estes. Taylor, how are you doing?
I'm good. Feels good to be back with you, Chip. It was a long vacation, but definitely a good one. And it sounds like I didn't miss too much, right? I mean, slow and nothing going on around Texas time. So,
wow.
Obviously joking about that.
Right. I mean, we'll just get right into it because we're still in the midst of it. We're recording on Tuesday, and everybody in college football, college athletics is now looking into the transfer portal and wondering what the bleep is going on, because we've had some significant developments. Obviously, Jordan Addison, the receiver from Pitt, ignited this heightened awareness of how NIL money is being used. And it's certainly not the intent of what the legislation that was passed a year ago, had in mind when suddenly schools or their collectives, and look, the coaching staff of that school has to be in on it to some degree, because a collective at USC is not just going to reach out to Jordan Addison at Pitt, the Biletnikoff award-winning receiver, and say, hey, how about you come to USC? We'll pay you X amount of dollars, without Lincoln Riley knowing what's going on. And so we've got this free agency that's happening, and it's impacted Texas. Schools came after some of Texas's top players, including Xavier Worthy and Jahdae Barron. And Xavier Worthy sort of made it clear that he's staying at Texas, but it can take up to 48 hours for a name to appear in the transfer portal. And Texas fans are, kind of counting down the minutes to see if Jahdae Barron's name is or is not going to show up in the portal, Taylor. And this is alarming for college athletics. School administrators are on the phone talking to each other, and they better come up with something, because the leadership right now in college athletics is as disjointed as I've ever seen it. And part of that is because of what happened last summer with Greg Sankey and the SEC, luring Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12 to the SEC. There's just not a lot of trust among college athletics leadership right now, at a time where they need to come together and try to figure out what to do about NIL.
Yeah, and the NCAA remains just basically sitting on its hands watching this all go down. And what is alarming to me, Chip, is the whole tampering aspect. I mean, that's something that the NCAA can control, and I know that they do not want to touch anything in regards to NIL. I mean, obviously, the proposition for NIL happened like 2 or 3 years ago almost now. And it took until the 11th hour of the deadline for the NCAA to be like, okay, we'll do this, and still like give no guidelines. Their fear of being sued is one thing, but they can control tampering. And you're seeing that all over college athletics, because you're right. I mean, let's be honest, there's no way that a collective at USC just led the charge in getting the Biletnikoff to enter, but the Biletnikoff award winner, to enter the transfer portal and transferred USC without Lincoln Riley saying, hey, go get that guy for us and tell him we'll pay him $3 million. And that's tampering 101. And I think it's should be alarming for all of college athletics, honestly. But the one thing is kind of like, what is the NCAA doing? Just cashing checks is basically what they're doing. And if the coaches and the administrators at these universities really want to put their foot down, it's time to break away from the NCAA, in my opinion, especially from the college football perspective of it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Mark Emmert, who's now announced that he's leaving
as president. Wonders, right?
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that he's staying until 2023, this doesn't help. Because Mark Emmert, and to be clear, the NCAA is all of the, you know, Division I schools made up into one group. And we've had the Power Five basically get their own allowances from the NCAA Division I Council. But you're still not getting clear leadership across the board, because you've got commissioners of each conference who look out for the best interests of their member schools, not necessarily what's in the best interest of the other Power Five schools. But now this is affecting all the Power Five schools. And so you've got athletic directors talking to each other. You've got athletic directors talking to their conference commissioner in the Big 12. You've got Bob Bowlesby stepping down. So it's the leadership in college athletics is in flux at a time where everybody sees that there's no one guarding the cookie jar and everybody's going for the cookie jar. And look, these collectives are out raising money. Texas's Clark Field Collective, I've written about in the Insider, they have a goal of $125 million and they've raised, you know, between $20 and $40 million already, but they're trying to do things, you know, like the Pancake Factory and the Clark Field Collective and Horns with Heart are working together. And they're trying to come up with ways that student athletes earn money while doing something good,
right?
Whether it's charitable work or whatever, when it elevates to just plain, hey, come here and we'll give you $3 million in NIL money, it's free agency.
Yeah, it's pay for play.
And that's always been against the rules. And you're right. The NCAA has been scared to death to touch regulating NIL because they don't want an antitrust lawsuit. And now the fear of that antitrust lawsuit has led to this. Mm-hmm. And this should get the presidents going. This should get the presidents on the phone with their conference commissioners and other presidents. The Power Five has to work together. I've said this for, you know, almost 10 years that we have the most disjointed system, with each conference negotiating their media rights and trying to get over on the other conference, stealing schools from other conferences. The top schools in the Power Five have got to work together like the NFL. And we're getting closer to this, but I don't know that we have the right people in place to bring those schools together right now. And, you know, everyone thought it might be Greg Sankey who would be the college football commissioner. Now he's seen as, you know, duplicitous because he was looking right in the face of the other conference commissioners, knowing that he was going to try and bring Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC. So no one trusts him. And then you saw this alliance formed between the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten. Now we're going to have an expanded college football playoff pushed to at least 2026, when it looked like there might be a chance it could happen before 2025. And that's because of the lack of trust going on between the highest leadership in college athletics, especially yeah. college football, which pays all the bills for most athletic departments. And so, you know, this is a crossroad for college athletics, and we'll see what all these phone calls right now, you know, will produce. I don't know that we can get, you know, legislation through before the 22-23 school year. It might be until January, or God forbid later, because you just don't want another recruiting cycle to go through with this quasi free agency.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chip, you mentioned, you know, this kind of started last summer with Greg Sankey, you know, going and poaching Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12 to the SEC. I kind of think that the distrust among the Power Five commissioners especially started in the summer of 2020, you know, when COVID was going on and the commissioners were on the phone all the time. And then, you know, they all kind of had an agreement in place to hold off on changing anything with the football season. And then Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, just shuts it all down. And then Pac-12 follows. And the rest of them were kind of on their heels, like, wait, this was not what we just discussed today on our conference call. I really think that this is where the distrust among the leadership started. I think it really was in 2020 prior to the NIL stuff. And this has just put fuel on the fire. And, you know, I think that I agree with you. I think that there needs to be new leadership at a lot of these conferences. Honestly, starting with the Big Ten, I thought that Kevin Warren was, you know, ill-equipped for the job. And then when he did that in 2020, it, you know, he has the schools begging to play in the college football season. And it's like there was no rhyme or reason for what he was doing at that point. It was just to make a statement, I think, you know, in his first year as a conference commissioner. And, you know, he's not the only one. And, you know, now the Big 12 is on the lookout for a new commissioner as well, with Bob Bowlesby announcing his intentions to step down. So there's just a lot of changes that are coming, regardless if you want it or not. And I think that there needs to be more changes at the top of these leaders, because if this is the way that the Power Five especially is running, then this is, you know, we've been joking that the, you know, the transfer portal was the wild, wild west, then NIL is the wild, 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 wild west, basically. This is basically just throwing your arms up and being like, let's just watch this burn to the ground. And that's how I feel that these conference commissioners are really maybe not intentionally, you know, doing it, but this, their lack of actions and their lack of control and their lack of, you know, consistency in working together is leading to that. And that's not good for anybody involved, from, you know, schools to student athletes to fans to anyone. That's just really not the ideal situation. And I think it needs to stop sooner. I mean, stop the, you know, stop the burn, like, you know, control the burn here. And right now it's just igniting. And this is alarming, I think, for all of college athletics, especially college football.
Well, and for football coaches, you can have players go into the portal without ever talking to the coach. They can go straight to the compliance office and say, I'd like to fill out the paperwork to go into the transfer portal. And then that's how the whole process gets started. And unless the coach has a good relationship with the compliance office, or, you know, the right hand and left hand are communicating, you can have players go around the coach to, you know, get in the portal and possibly entertain an NIL offer from another school. This is making it, you know, and look, current players, we've talked about the disparity in NIL within a locker room. You've got current players who may not have NIL deals, and they're hearing about transfers coming in who are getting NIL money, who haven't done nearly what they've done on the field. And so they're saying, well, where's my NIL money? And the only way you get an NIL money, Taylor, it's like, it's how you get a raise at your job, is when someone else wants you.
Yeah.
We'll get to, you know, Bo Davis and him becoming the $4 million assistant at Texas here in a minute, but you get, you know, you get a raise when someone else wants you. And that's what is frightening about this whole situation, because you've got schools that are just going to go try and poach players off of other rosters. And there's no certainty. There's no roster certainty if this is happening. And if it's happening after signing day, after February, after spring football, and you're down to limited options, then that, what's going to happen if a player gets taken from your roster? You're going to go try and poach a player from another roster.
Yeah.
And it's just going to turn into cannibalism and lack of trust, and your product is going to be diminished significantly. And, you know, it's funny, 10 years ago, I said that the Power Five should collectively come together, market their media rights like the NFL. You'd have to lobby Congress to maintain the tax exempt status for athletic departments, but that the schools should go ahead and provide a NIL stipend for all student athletes of $5,000 a semester. Mm-hmm. And if they would have done that, as the federal judge in the O'Bannon case said they should, that was later thrown out on appeal, you would have never gotten to this point.
No.
But schools didn't want to be proactive. They didn't want to be the ones to cut into their own budgets to handle the NIL situation. They deferred. The NCAA basically deferred back and said, hey, here's the bare minimum guidelines. Good luck.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that people aren't going to, you know, aren't really talking about right now, because it's all about focus on the student athletes, is I think you're going to see a lot of good college football coaches bolt for the NFL if they get an opportunity to, because they don't want to deal with this. I mean, you already have to re-recruit, you know, your team, your room, your position, whatever it is, with the transfer portal. And now it's like, I mean, it is just no holds bar right now. And I think that you're going, if this doesn't, you know, maintain, get under control in any way, shape, or form, you're going to see some very, very talented coaches, head coaches, assistant coaches, you name it, down to personnel people, just leave and go for other opportunities, even if they have to take a pay cut. Because a lot of these college coaches, assistant coaches especially, get paid more than they would at with an NFL roster. And I really do think that you're going to see some quality coaches, you know, be willing to take that pay cut so that they don't have to deal with this, because this is a headache in itself. I mean, recruiting in it on its own. I mean, these coaches are recruiting every single day. They get like 2 to 3 weeks off a year tops, and then they're working every single day. They don't have a normal 9 to 5. They're not, you know, they're coming in on the weekends, even outside of football season. They're meeting every single day outside of football season. And then in football season, you know, sometimes they're sleeping in their offices because they're there so late. And it's already, you know, a lot on these coaches and the coaching staff for recruiting in general. I really think that this could be a very detrimental thing to the quality of coaching and the quality of individuals that are leading these programs and leading these, you know, especially football programs and teams. I think you're going to see that diminish if this doesn't get under control. And that's something I don't think many people are even thinking of right now, but it's that's an alarming, you know, potential. And I think that you're going to see it more and more happen.
Yeah. I mean, if it comes down to, okay, someone just poached a player off our roster, we got to go poach a player off another roster. You're asking these coaches now to be duplicitous, to be, you know, sabotaging their competitor. And who's comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Because you're trying to move up in an honorable way. As a coach, you move up from an assistant, a position coach, to a coordinator, to a head coach. If it's about stealing players from other rosters, you're just creating a blacklist of coaches. Or, you know, I mean, my God, there was some guy who had his picture with some guy named Eric Silver, who, you know, posted a picture on Instagram with Marcus Washington and Jahdae Barron and Xavier Worthy. And, you know, Texas fans immediately were like, okay, this guy must be the guy who's orchestrating, you know, Texas Longhorns leaving the 40 acres, because everybody is on guard. They're all, you know, and this guy, Eric Silver, is running around saying, it's not me. This is from an autograph signing like a year ago. And, you know, don't blame me. And it's just in a matter of weeks, this thing has gotten so heightened that, trust me, athletic directors are on the phone with each other. They're trying to sort through it. They're talking to their school lawyers and trying to come up with a plan. And the question is, who will listen to whom? Because we don't have a college football commissioner looking out for the top brands in college football. We have 5 different commissioners who are all trying to protect their own jobs. Taylor, I've said this forever. These commissioners get paid a lot of money, and they don't get paid to look out for the overall good of college athletics. They get paid to look out for their media rights in their conference, and they're trying to get the best deals possible, not for the whole, but for theirs. And that's just a tough formula to work with.
It's slimy. It kind of is. I mean, to an extent, you have to look at it like for what it is. It's a slimy situation that is going on right now from the top of the leadership down to, you know, these people trying to poach players off of other teams by luring them with money. And as you mentioned, that's not what NIL was set to be. It wasn't a pay for play. That's what nobody wanted, pay for play. They wanted these guys to be able to profit on their own name, image, and likeness. And that is just, I mean, it's just, it's weird. And there's so many different ways that you can view it. You want, you know, I've always been a proponent of, I think it's important that student athletes be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. But what's going on right now, this is not what I think anybody would want. And if you really get down to the nitty gritty, it really could destroy college football, which is such, in college athletics in general, but especially college football, which is such a special sport in itself because of the fans, you know, the fanatics, you know, the people that want to hear about it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, regardless of the year, time of year, anything. That's what makes college football so special. And this is really starting to make me wonder if this is going to take away from the pageantry, the tradition, all of that, that people love about the sport.
Yeah. If they don't get it under control and get some sanity into these guidelines, then you're going to have lawsuits. You're going to have one school suing suing the other. And those are the headlines you're going to be reading. And instead of, hey, these two schools are scheduling each other in the non-conference, hey, these two schools are meeting in court today to determine if school A was tampering to get a player from school B. And that's not where this needs to go. So, Taylor, speaking of players in the transfer portal, Texas has had, since Steve Sarkisian met with players following the spring to let them know kind of where their standing is on the team, Texas has had 6 players, 7 actually now with Marcus Washington, enter the transfer portal. David Abiera, Myron Warren, Jaden Hullaby, Jordan Thomas, DeJon Harrison, and Kelvonte Dixon. And so you've got now 20 Longhorns who have entered the transfer portal since last year, or since late last year. And that is, when you combine the 15 players who left because they were out of eligibility or were graduating or going to the NFL, that's 35 players who've left the roster since late last year, Taylor. That is a roster turnover of 41% from the 85 scholarship roster from the 2021 season. That is astounding.
It is. Technically, it's 36 with Marcus Washington's name appearing today, too.
Okay.
Which makes 36. It even more. Yeah. Just to add more, you know, let's make it accurate. It's crazy. It's wild. I mean, absolutely. It's crazy.
And Steve Sarkisian wanted this. I mean, he basically said in December, we could have 33 new faces, and Texas signed 28 freshmen. They've signed 5 transfers. But now it looks like it could go even higher. 36, as you mentioned. And this is what Steve Sarkisian wants. He wants to build the roster in his image. He wants to get the numbers where he wants them. He didn't like how many receivers were on the team last year and how few offensive linemen there were. So he's brought in 8 offensive linemen, and receivers are leaving like by the minute. So everyone's wondering, oh my gosh, are we going to have any depth at receiver? Well, Steve Sarkisian doesn't play many receivers. He plays the guys who are the most productive, and barring injury, he'd probably leave the same 3 or 4 guys out there all year, which is kind of what he did last year. And Marcus Washington was one of those guys who got in because you know, the injury to Jordan Whittington, the Josh Moore quitting the team, you know, just after midseason. And so now you've got, you know, Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington, Isaiah Nair, and you got a Jai Hall coming in from Alabama. And then you're waiting to see how Troy O'Meary, Brennan Thompson, Savion Redd, how these guys, along with, you know, Casey Kane, Jaden Alexis, how they develop. But this is going to be fascinating because it's a complete rebuild. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, and this is a rebuild that obviously is going to be taking longer than, you know, one calendar year. I mean, we're into, what, May of 2022. Steve Sarkisian was hired January of 2021. You know, this is going to continue. And I think the other thing, too, with the receivers, I think you kind of got to look at what they're going to do with Jahlil Billingsley as well, because I think, you know, he could kind of fit either the tight end, pass-catching tight end or a receiver type of role. But this is, you know, the receiver group, you know, when you think about the depth, I think a lot of the questions that Texas fans are having right now is probably stemming from the Tom Herman era, because Tom Herman's always rotated receivers almost to the point where you're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, leave these guys on the field, let them get into a rhythm, let them, you know, read the defenses, like, after just more than one freaking rep, you know, out there. And so it's a different philosophy. I think it should be a welcome one, because I remember, you know, if you read a Horns 24/7 message board or read the game thread during games during the Tom Herman era, people were like, why are they taking these guys off the field? Let them, like, stay on. So I think, you know, I think that a lot of the fear probably comes from that. But at the same time, it's like, well, you guys really wanted consistency, and that's what, you know, Steve Sarkisian is trying to do. And, you know, this is it's going to be interesting. It's I would say the one thing you're kind of betting on a lot, Chip, if you are betting on Jordan Whittington to be on the field, because, you know, you hope for his sake, I hope for his sake, that he has a full healthy season, but he has yet to have that since he enrolled at Texas as an early enrollee as part of that 2019 signing class. So, you know, that I would say that's the one where you're like, ooh, you better have at least one quality backup option that could come in, just because of what history has shown from him. You hope that doesn't, you know, happen, and that's not the case. But still, I mean, that I would say that would be the one that would be a depth concern for me. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, and Jordan Whittington saying now he's added 2 hours of conditioning each day to keep his body in shape, from, you know, yoga to hydrotherapy, hot cold tubs, all that stuff, to, you know, really make sure that he's doing everything he can to take care of his body and stay healthy and stay on the field. Now, he broke his collarbone against Oklahoma last year, and that obviously is a different kind of injury, but yeah, it's, look, guys get injured, and so we know that that receiver position is absolutely critical. It's interesting. I've heard, you know, Marcus Washington is a guy who actually got some attaboys from Steve Sarkisian coming out of spring, during spring, coming out of spring. And I'm hearing, keep an eye on Marcus Washington to Nebraska, where he might be reunited with his, you know, former quarterback, Casey Thompson. And Marcus Washington was a good special teams player. He blocked a punt against Kansas last year. He was a good blocker as a receiver, but Taylor, as a pass catcher, you didn't know what you were going to get. I mean, I pointed this out in the morning brew today, even in one of his best games, he caught 7 passes for 70 yards against Baylor. He dropped 2 contested catches late in the fourth quarter in Baylor territory that could have changed that game. So you just never knew what you were going to get from Marcus Washington from a pass catching standpoint. And that, you know, as a guy who's going into his senior year, his fourth year, that you just, that's like way, it takes too long. That's taking way too long to get to where coaches can trust what you do.
He's as a pass catcher. Never know what you're going to get.
Right. And so, you know, people are like, are you alarmed? Are you alarmed? And I'm looking at the list of guys who've gone into the portal, and, you know, you've got, you know, Jared Wiley, you know, the guy who probably I liked the most is Terrence Cooks, mm-hmm. young guy, freshman, you know, who showed up on special teams last year and then took off. And I think he's a guy who could have developed into a good player, but the other, you know, the other, players on that list, I don't think are guys you miss that much.
Yeah, I agree.
And Steve Sarkisian needs to do this roster overhaul as quickly as possible because he's got a set amount of time to try to get this thing fixed. He's going to try and purge as many players as he can to get as many players in who, you know, can help him get this thing turned as possible. And there are still no assurances. So I get what Steve Sarkisian's doing. I don't blame him.
Oh, I don't blame him at all. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, he's on the clock. You know what I mean? I mean, we haven't seen the last two head coaches at Texas, you know, were gone before year five, Charlie year three. I mean, this is, I guess Tom Herman would have been after year four. You know, I mean, this is, we haven't seen a coach at Texas fulfill his contract, you know, and I don't even know how, I mean, I guess since Mac Brown's previous contract before he got fired, because he got fired with still years left, you know, in 2013. But when you're at a place like that, that there's the one consistency has been coaching turnover, you have to do it quick. And I think Steve Sarkisian is a smart enough guy to know that when he took this job, that he had a limited time and a shorter leash. I think honestly, Tom Herman thought that he was going to be, you know, able to extend it for as long as he wanted, because they just fired, you know, they fired a legend coach and then they fired another coach 3 years after hiring him. And then he, you know, I think that was his mindset when he came in, that he's got this, he's fine. And then he gets fired after year four when he had successful seasons. So, you know, Steve Sarkisian definitely, I think, is on the clock and having to hurry this up with the roster overhaul. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, Chip, because when you look at, you know, the NFL draft and Texas not having any players draft, I mean, that was pretty much expected. But the fact that it was expected is the alarming, you know, overall picture. There's all of these like headlines like Texas, you know, doesn't have any players draft. And it's like, well, if you cover Texas, you kind of knew that was going to happen. I mean, we had Josh Thompson on our podcast and he didn't seem, you know, very positive that he was going to be drafted. He was just looking for an opportunity. And so even the guy with the most potential to be drafted, I don't think was expecting it, but that's just the overall, you know, concern that should be around the state of the program. It wasn't on Steve Sarkisian and his staff. You know, it's, I think the reason why this has happened because of the turnover, both on the, you know, players on the roster, not panning out. And then the constant coaching turnover has led a lot of these guys to kind of hinder their development. And Steve Sarkisian has to get it fixed and has to get it fixed fast. So, you know, I don't blame, you know, Sark for the lack of NFL draft picks this year. I know some people, those are the headlines, you know, the guys that are looking for the clicks, they're probably writing those headlines. It's not on him. I mean, this was an expected situation. And if that should be the indication of what he actually took over, more so than an indication on his ability to develop players, his and his staff's ability to develop these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Texas won't have this issue next year because Bijan Robinson will be in the draft. But Taylor, before we move off of football, seven assistants getting one-year contract extensions this week. And the big winner, Bo Davis, the defensive line coach, who not only gets a $100,000 raise, well, he was the only coach who had his initial contract torn up and is getting a raise from $900,000 to $1 million for the 2022 season. The other assistants just had a year added to their contract with some $75,000 raise ranging to no raise. And but Bo Davis clearly got interest from another suitor, because that's how you get this kind of pay raise and new contracts.
He's a fan favorite too, I think too, Chip. I mean, after the Iowa State video came out, like, you know, anybody that thought that was going to be bad for him was far off, because fans started eating him up, and you don't want to let the fan favorite go.
Yeah. AJ Milwee getting a $75,000 raise for his additional year that is being added to his contract. Jeff Banks and Blake Gideon a $50,000 raise. Torrey Becton, $25,000 raise. And Terry Joseph and Jeff Choate, no raise. They will carry their current salaries of $800,000 and $575,000, respectively. $800,000 is what Joseph makes. Jeff Choate, $575,000.
A lot of money for a cornerbacks coach.
Yeah.
That cornerbacks coach getting more money than a co-defensive coordinator is interesting.
Yeah. Well, Terry Joseph, I don't know how they characterize that position. He's like the secondary coach, cornerbacks coach. But yeah, those two guys having their salaries held flat for the additional year that they're getting for the 2023 season. All right, Taylor. And Isaiah Hookfin, as I just real quick, I reported in the Insider previously that Isaiah Hookfin, the offensive lineman who was in a horrible motorcycle accident last December, but you know, despite fractured ribs, broken collarbone, lacerated spleen, a broken forearm, he's going to be okay, but it looks like he's going to finish his career at Texas on a medical scholarship. So add him to that roster turnover, and 41% turnover. So
the thing that with him is you just thank God that he's okay. Like lot, honestly, because as you mentioned, you know, when he posted pictures of the aftermath of that accident, it was enough that I think if you didn't know the outcome, you probably would have assumed whoever was on the motorcycle did not survive. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that his playing career will come to an end, but there's more things to life than football, and his life is more important than playing football. And so that, you know, that's unfortunate for him, but such a blessing too, that he is able to have a medical scholarship and still is around, you know, this university.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Also, make sure you check out this week's flagship podcast interview with Fozzie Whitaker. Fozzie Whitaker, you know, speaking of no Longhorns getting drafted, Fozzie Whitaker not only didn't get drafted, he suffered a torn ACL late in his senior season, had to rehab, come all the way back, and then fight his way to get an opportunity in the NFL and turned it into a good NFL career. He's getting an NFL pension. And then he and I go through each position, and we talk about the confidence level of each position on a scale of 1 to 10. Check it out. I think it's really interesting. I think Fozzie had really interesting things to say. Taylor, you ready for some love it or leave it?
I am, Chip. Before we get to love it or leave it, we're going to take a very quick break, but stick around because football talk never ends here on the flagship podcast, and we may even throw in some baseball conversation and love it or leave it. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Chip, you ready for Love It or Leave It?
Let's do it.
Alrighty. My first one for you is Love It or Leave It. Something will be done about NIL in terms of guidelines by the start of the 2022-2023 school year.
I think, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave this. I hope that it ends up being the case. I just don't see how the leadership is going to come together in a uniform way to have something, you know, collective. But I do think there is urgency among all schools. You know, the Pac-12, if let's say this is going to be the precedent case, right? Everyone's going to look back and point to Jordan Addison, if he leaves Pitt and goes to USC for allegedly, you know, seven figures, then this is going to be the tipping point case in NIL becoming quasi-free agency. That will spur action. The question is, how quickly can everyone come to an agreement on this? Because everyone's afraid of the antitrust situation, but we are at good of the game status here. And if you don't take action, there's not going to be a college football that we recognize for these student athletes to enjoy the ability to earn money on their name, image, and likeness, because we're not going to recognize college football. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave it, Taylor. I hope I'm wrong. How about you?
Yeah. I agree. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to leave it. I think, you know, with everything that you said, I totally agree with that. It's almost like this is turning into the Hunger Games a little bit. You know, it's like you got to take out whoever just to, you know, save yourself. And that is not what I don't think anybody sees as a positive, you know, outlook of the future of college football. And so while I think that there needs to be some guidelines in place, it's hard for me to put any trust right now into the powers that be that are in charge of making those guidelines come to fruition. And so, you know, I think it will ultimately, you would hope it will ultimately happen, but with how, you know, kind of, I don't want to say like, I'm trying to think the right word to say, at odds, I guess you could say, that a lot of these conference commissioners and leaders at some of the top Power Five schools out there, there's just really no reason to have faith that it's going to happen ASAP. I think that it's going to happen later, but I don't think it's going to happen sooner. And I hope I'm wrong. So I have to agree with you and say I'm going to leave that too.
Okay. All right. Love it. Leave it.
Continue. That's what I think. All right. My second one. Love it or leave it. Texas having 41% of its roster, 36 players, and 21 via the portal turnover from the 2021 season to the 2022 season is a good thing.
Yeah, I'm going to love this. As drastic as it sounds, and you know, the idea of a kid getting a scholarship and being able to graduate from that school, even if he's not a productive producer on the field, I think those days are gone, Taylor. I mean, it's it's big business, and Steve Sarkisian is paying for the recruiting mistakes of his predecessors by encouraging the guys who are not going to be getting on the field to maybe look elsewhere if they really want to play college football. And that's what we're seeing. So from a big business standpoint, I get it. And from Steve Sarkisian, we just kind of talked about it, having, you know, 2-3 years with the patience or lack of patience that, you know, school leaders seem to have a lot of times because of pressure from their money donating fan base or their top alums, their top boosters. At some point, you've got to plant your flag and stick with a guy like Texas did with Mack Brown, who didn't win his first conference title until year 8. And it also was the year he won the national championship in 2005. But it's, you know, it is a good thing right now for Steve Sarkisian to be able to have a chance to rebuild this roster the way he wants it and then be judged based on that roster. So I'm going to love this, Taylor. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to love it too. I think, you know, you've got to look at the facts of it. And I think that Chris Del Conte, obviously it's gotten more, you know, attrition since then, but Chris Del Conte coming out with his statement during the football season in 2021, during Steve Sarkisian's first year, and pointing out how much roster attrition has impacted the first year of the Steve Sarkisian era at Texas. That shouldn't just be, you know, brushed under the rug. That was, you know, a very intentional type of statement, you know, because he it's the facts. And that's the thing, is a lot of times when things are going crazy and going haywire, fans don't want to look at the facts. They just want to blame the person who is leading the team at the current time. And you have to look at everything that has led to, you know, what happened in year one for Steve Sarkisian. And clearly, the thing that Texas lacked the most of was talent. Let's just be honest. They lacked a lot of talent because of roster attrition in some of the top signing classes, like the 2018 and 2019 signing classes that finished number 3 in the country in 24/7 Sports Composite. A lot of the players there were not on the roster and should have still been on the roster in 2021. So, you know, obviously there was a lack of talent on that roster. Steve Sarkisian and his staff need to rebuild it and do it in a quick way, because we've seen so many coaches, both head coaches and assistant coaches, get, you know, shown the exit at Texas very quickly in the recent decades. So yeah, I think that this is actually a good thing, because this is going to give everybody an opportunity to truly make their, you know, statement or judgment or whatever you want to call it on Steve Sarkisian as a head coach, because this is, you know, his first head coaching stop since his time at USC. So he's still kind of young in his head coaching career. And I think it's unfair to judge him off of his first season just because of everything that, you know, Chris Del Conte put in that letter out to Longhorn Nation and basically standing by his guy. You know, I think that this is a good thing. I think it's good for coaches to get their opportunity to bring their own guys in. And Steve Sarkisian obviously sees that this is an important and something, you know, important situation, something that needs to be done fast. And I think that's a positive thing for the future of Texas. You know, we'll see if it plays out, you know, is kind of TBD right now, if this actually does work out. But I think it's a good thing that Steve Sarkisian is making an effort to bring in his own guys. So I'm going to love it too.
Yeah. All right, Taylor, here comes love it or leave it number 3.
All right, we're going to shift gears here and talk a little bit about Texas baseball. Love it or leave it, Texas baseball started the season at number 1 with visions of Omaha. Now the Longhorns are just hoping to make the postseason. Love it or leave it.
You know what? I'm going to love this. And as long as Texas just makes the postseason, they have a chance to kind of rekindle the magic that they showed at the beginning of the year. I'm just mystified from sort of week to week what we're going to expect from this Texas pitching staff. And that's what's so frustrating, Taylor. In a year where Texas has shattered the team record for home runs in a season, they're at 86. The previous record was 81, set by the 2010 team. And you've got, you know, crazy home run power, thanks to guys like Ivan Melendez and, you know, Trey Faltini and Murphy Staley. It's awesome to watch Texas at the plate. But what we saw last Sunday with Texas up 7-0 after Lucas Gordon pitches for 6 innings, 11 strikeouts. He leaves the game with a 7-0 lead. And then Texas gives up 10 runs on 4 hits in the 7th inning and loses 10-8 against Oklahoma State in what essentially was a series for first place in the Big 12, was just, you know, potentially debilitating. I don't think this team will, you know, just go into a shell. I think they'll rally, and they need to. They're going to West Virginia this weekend. West Virginia is a much better team than they've been. It's a tough road series across the country, and Texas has got to put it together from a pitching standpoint. I mean, their starting pitching isn't what it was at the beginning of the year. Obviously, Tanner Witt got hurt, but you're starting to see some productive outings from Lucas Gordon, maybe even more productive than what we've seen from, you know, Pete Hansen and Tristan Stevens the last couple starts. It's just confounding, but I'm going to love that, Taylor. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to love it too. And I can't believe that we're actually talking about this, Chip. I mean, it's wild to me to think about, you know, entering the season, the pitching, you know, the bullpen looked to be the strength entering this 2022 season for Texas baseball. And it has just dwindled so much. And, you know, when you talk about Lucas Gordon, you know, he I think he is probably performing at a much higher level than what people expected him to be performing at, coming out of Tanner Witt's injury. You know, with Tanner Witt set to be that Sunday starter, then he had the Tommy John surgery that ends his season. I think Lucas Gordon has really answered the call in a positive way, but no one else is helping him. he pitched 6 full innings on Sunday, and as you know, gave up 3 hits. Did he give up any runs? No, he didn't give up any runs, nothing. And then in the 7th, they give up 10 runs. I mean, it's wild. And that is, you know, what you hope doesn't happen right now is that the lack of, I guess, of depth in the bullpen to cause a friction among the team, because I would be pretty pissed if I was Lucas Gordon. Like, it would be hard for me not to be ripping on some of the guys that came in, because, you know, he did his job. He did what he was asked to do. And then that it just goes out of control and haywire. And then Texas loses. The series gets swept. That was the first series, Big 12 series sweep that they gave up, right?
Yep.
I mean, they lost some series, but that was the first time they were swept. I mean, this is not the time that you want to see that happen, especially as you mentioned with the, you know, kind of fighting for the Big 12 champion, that series. And now Texas goes from, I forget what their ranking was going into Oklahoma State series, but now they're unranked in the major college baseball polls. I mean, that is not what you want to see. So I think at this point, watching the way this is going, I think you have to just hope that Texas makes the postseason. So I'm going to agree with you and love that.
Yeah. I mean, we know Pete Hansen can get it done. We know Tristan Stevens can get it done. He led the Big 12 in wins last year with 11. But as we've talked about for most of the season, unfortunately, his power sinker ball isn't sinking, pitching to contact. And then the bullpen, we thought Travis Staley might be a solid guy, you know, Luke Harrison. You've had different guys step up, but they've all struggled as well. And that's where it gets really tricky for David Pierce. So, just make the postseason and see what you can do once you get that new life in the postseason. Okay, a ton of stuff going on. And make sure you check out this week's Insider. That's all I'm going to say. And make sure that you check out the interview podcast that we dropped on Monday with Fozzie Whitaker, one of the great stories in recent Texas football history. And thanks to everybody for listening to the flagship podcast today. For Taylor Estes, I am Chip Brown. We'll see you over at horns247.com. And until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.